Welcome, everybody. This is Bo Mitchell, your host of You Get the Blessing. My co-host today, Mr. Chuck King. And this is Ben E. King, Chuck's brother, singing
When the Night
Stand By Me.
Come, and the land is dark, and the moon is the only light we'll see.
Now, this is music right here, folks.
No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid.
So who sings this song?
Your brother, Ben King.
Why don't you let him sing it then?
Stand by me. So, darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand.
I'm sorry, Bo. I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Oh,
impossible. You couldn't. You're a funny man. Isn't this a great song?
This is a great song.
If the sky,
that we look upon
should tumble and fall,
or the mountain
should crumble
to
the sea.
Kimbe sings.
I won't cry.
Okay, that's enough messing around here, folks. Welcome to our program. This is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell, and that antagonist across the desk here is Chuck King, my co-host today. Chuck, you are a funny man.
Thanks. It's my calling in life to keep you in line.
And humble. Attaboy. Well, you're doing it well. Normally on You Get the Blessing, we have a guest. We interview that guest, hopefully to inspire, educate, inform you all. But today we do a variation of that, what we call tips from the team. And Chuck and I are going to tackle a topic that we think is a tongue twister. And we think if we hit the shot and the tweeze, we'll hit a twick shot from the twap and get it back on the green. Something like that. Tips from the team is strictly our effort to share something with you listeners that hopefully you'll enjoy and be challenged by. And today we've selected for our topic perseverance. So if you're a man or woman of faith and you feel like you're struggling, we're going to try to encourage you by saying, welcome to the club. Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. Struggling is part of it, and persevering through that time of trouble or pain or struggle is really what the Christian life is all about. If you're not a believer and you're just kicking the tires and still thinking about maybe accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior and darkening the doors of a church, then stay with us, because I think you'll like what we're saying about the fact that after you receive Christ and step into a relationship with Him by faith, that it's not just a ticket to an immunity from trouble. In fact, it's just a solution to what life offers all of us, which is tough times sometimes, right, Chuck?
So, Bo, to lead into this, let's go back to when Don Reverts led you to Christ, and things just turned up roses from then on, right?
No, but it is interesting. Don's style is so soft and kind and just wonderful. It was exactly what I needed to clearly hear, the simplicity of the core truth in the Bible, which is God loves us and wants to be in relationship with us. So he did calm down all the confusion for me and the packaging that I'd heard in the Methodist church for years, and just basically said, this is available to you, Bo. Do you want to sign up or not? And I said, yes.
And thinking back on that, thinking what your goals and dreams were at that point in your life, and how things have turned out, has that been a persevering experience?
Absolutely. All the way through, starting right then, whether it was athletics or academics, business life, personal life. I mean, the journey is tough.
So it started out by you not making it to the big leagues, right?
Yeah, that was the first tough thing. You've got to have your ego harnessed enough to say, I'm not thinking I'm as good as the rest of these guys.
But I will tell you, you hit the best golf shot from your knees of anybody I've ever seen.
Well, thank you. And that says a lot for the problems I have with my golf swing, that I can get down on my knees and hit it better. Takes the leg action out of it, simplifies the turn. But on the subject of perseverance, I'd like to start with a devotional from Oswald Chambers' book, My Utmost for His Highest. And this devotional had a great positive impact on me when I read it. And I just shared it recently at a chapel service I did with the Colorado Rockies. And it is called The Faith to Persevere. But Chambers says that perseverance is more than endurance. So we're not just trying to hang on and get by a thread. It says more than simply holding on until the end. A Christian's life is in the hands of God like a bow and arrow in the hands of an archer. It says God, he says God is aiming at something the Christian can't really see, but our Lord continues to stretch and strain, and every once in a while, the Christian cries out, I can't take any more of this. You may feel like that today listening to our program. I've had enough. I can't take any more. And Chambers goes on to say, God pays no attention. He goes on stretching until his purpose is in sight. Now, that's not a God that's not caring and loving, but that's a God that's got a God-sized view of what's going on rather than a narrow view of what might be going on. And he lets the arrow fly when his purpose is in sight. So he encourages us to entrust ourselves into God's hands and to maintain our intimate relationship with Christ through the perseverance of faith. So no matter what, as Job says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. No matter what the world throws at you, you may be getting a call today from your doctor or from your lawyer saying, here's what your wife's decided in your marriage is the course of action we're going to take. Or from your accountant saying, whoops, we've had a reversal in your finances and you're in trouble. Or from your kid's school saying, sorry, but little Joy today decided to do this and that, and now here's what you're facing. Well, Oswald Chambers goes on to say that faith is not some weak and pitiful emotion, but is strong and vigorous confidence built on the fact that God is holy love and God is in control. And disaster occurs in our lives when we lack the mental composure that comes from establishing ourselves on the eternal truth that God is holy love. And faith is not anything less than the supreme effort of your life. So he encourages us to throw ourselves with abandon and total confidence on God. And it's almost like a prerequisite that we do that if we are going to be able to understand the fact that perseverance is, by definition here, part of what life is all about. So if you think it's just going to be about football games and flowers and fun, think again. It's not. And to prepare for that, he's saying here, to in advance of needing it, get that mental composure in place, this relationship that's bedrock and all-consuming with Christ, depending on him, has got to be in place first, which I find to be comforting and actually exciting to know you can get through it.
Yeah, Chambers is so insightful. Every time I read him, it's like, wow, that's amazing.
And I'm not remembering, to educate our listeners, was he a, he's from Europe and...
He's from Great Britain, I believe. And he was with...
was he a missionary?
I think he wasn't he early on with the Salvation Army. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I'm not sure either, but brilliant man. And his wife, I think, is the one that compiled My Utmost for His Highest from all of his notes and messages through the years. So,
but in essence, I think he's saying Christians shouldn't just survive trials. They should thrive in the trials. And that's a tough one. In 2 Peter, verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6, it says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith is of worth greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed.
So read that once more.
In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed.
So with perseverance eventually comes character.
It does, and it's a testing of our faith. You know, when we in Narrowgate a while back, we were talking about the disciples going out in the boat, and they had just seen the miracles that Jesus had worked on the shore. They get out in the boat, and the first thing that happens is they get afraid, and Jesus says, "Did you all not remember what we just talked about? Oh, you of little faith." He puts those things in front of us as a test of our faith. And it's pretty clear in Scripture that they're there for that proving our faith, for us to be able to apply our faith.
I would add this, though, that God's nature is love, not evil. So when something bad happens to you, God's not shaking his fist at you and bringing that bad into your life, but he will flip that upside down and use it as a trial or a test in your life to make it in the end a good thing for you as you persevere and as your character grows and you come out the other side stronger. So I remember a college baseball game where I'm playing first base at the University of Colorado, and our coach was Chief Frank Prinnip, nicknamed Chief. Chief Prinnip is in the dugout. I'm playing first base. The ball hits a rock, bounces up, hits me in the mouth, and my mouth and lip are bleeding. The guy's safe at first, and I keep, you know, kind of cleaning the blood off with my shirt. You may feel that way in your life today. You just got hit in the mouth and you're still in the process of cleaning the blood off. But when I got to the dugout, what I really wanted was a pat on the back and a hug and a, "Are you okay?" And what I got surprised me, and it took me 10 years to learn or to believe that he was right, because Chief said to me, "What happened on that play?" And I said, "Well, you saw what happened. It took a bad hop, hit a rock, smashed me in the mouth, and I'm lucky it didn't knock my teeth out." And he said, no, I don't want to hear that. He said, "Great players anticipate the bad hops and make the play." So I thought, this crazy old man, he must not have been watching. But later on, I came to understand, you know, he's right. Great Christians understand that part of life is going to be a bad hop once in a while. And to prepare yourself by letting your roots grow deep down into Christ and the Scripture and the things of his kingdom is just what Chief said. It's anticipating the bad hop and getting ready in advance to deal with whatever life throws at you.
That story reminds me when I was coaching my son's baseball team when he was small. We were on our way home from practice one day, and he says, "Dad, don't be telling people, get down in front of the ball, it won't hurt you, because it does hurt you." He said, "It's okay to get down in front of the ball, but it hurts."
That's a good story. And, you know, I hate to stay on these off-the-track baseball stories, but my son Andy was playing his second game at third base as a five-year-old, and I was looking out at him and very proud. He had his uniform on just perfectly, and I thought, well, this is kind of cool, father and son moment. And up stepped this little kid that looked like Hank Aaron, and it flashed in my mind, uh-oh, I'm not sure about this. And Andy was staring in at third base at home plate, and this kid hit the ball really hard, and it missed his face by about 2 inches, rolled clear down in the left field corner, rattled around, kid ends up with a double. Andy never moves his body. He's still just standing there straight ahead, focused on home plate, and Finally, I went from proud to angry and screamed out, "Andy, did you see that baseball?" And he turned around with a big smile and said, "Barely." I had a flash that could have been a major injury there. But sometimes that's the way it is in life, is you say to your wife or to your business partner or whatever, you know, "Did you see that thing coming at us, that bad hop, that potentially dangerous situation?" And our answer is barely. And through the grace of God, he's saying in that scripture you just read, you know, we're not only going to get through it, we're going to be overcomers. We're going to be on the other side of this soon. Now, there may be another one coming at us, but it's interesting that my wife, Gary, and I, who together went through federal prison 25 years ago, as we tell our story, the we're just kind of tearful, and it's still emotional for us that it happened, and we got in this trap with the FBI and other guys in a real estate related deal in the 80s. And, you know, for us, it felt like they, you know, killed a fly with a sledgehammer. But making it a God deal and looking at it from the spiritual side, we're glad it happened. I'm a much better man because I was humbled in that whole prison process and got squashed in terms of ego and pride. Not that I still don't have that, but I certainly came out better. So people that knew me then that haven't taken the time to know me in the last 25 years, frankly, don't really know me at all, because I wanted to learn every single lesson God had for me through that process. So as unfair as it felt, by the time I got to May 22nd, 1992, which was the night before I got out, I was on my knees with my roommates, five of us in 11 by 13 room at the prison camp. And I prayed, "Lord, unless I've learned every single lesson you have for me to learn through this experience, I pray that the paperwork would all blow up and I would not be released tomorrow. I would not go home. I would stay here for as long as it takes for this hard-headed, prideful man to learn what you have for me." So what it took for me to get where God needed me was federal prison. Could he have stopped it? Sure. But from the day it started happening, I said to my family, "There's only two things you do when trouble comes your way. You either rebel against God or you surrender." So everything that we've ever stated as our beliefs in Christ is now being put to a test. Whether we feel fairly treated or unfairly treated, we're going to make this a God deal. And we did. And I'm not saying we were perfect through it, but I really, truly never felt the moment of anger. I felt humbled and humiliation from time to time, just thinking, I must really be a screw up for this to be the method of sifting God is using to get me where I need to be. But I went through it, hopefully, obediently, with integrity, and came out the other side the way he wanted me. But there were other bad hops on the way. I just didn't know them yet, but that was a pretty big one. And thank you to my wife and kids and friends who helped us get through it.
You know, someone once shared with me that spiritual growth rarely takes place on a constant trend. It happens in a stair-step manner. You are on a plane for a while, and then there's a period of steep spiritual growth, and then you're on a plane for a while. In my life, and I know from your having shared that experience, that in many people's lives, those periods of steep spiritual growth often happen when you're under tremendous trial, because that's when you get to test your faith. And perseverance, God tells us again, Peter was focused on this issue of perseverance. He says in 2 Peter, beginning with verse 5, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Part of that humility process, it's a process, part of learning to be humble so that you can love others who are having a difficult time, is that perseverance. It becomes a part of our character.
Absolutely. That is a tremendous verse right there. Maybe read that one once more Chuck. I like what the Bible says usually a lot more than I like what I have to say.
What about what I say?
I like what you have to say more than what I have. Like, oh, forget it.
For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. I think it's a sort of a progression. You begin with the whole issue of faith, and it moves through those stages to get to where you can love.
And Oswald Chambers goes on to say, life will become one great big romance if you can look at it this way. It's not just a big bowl of cherries, but he says we should be asking ourselves constantly, are there areas in our lives that faith has not yet worked in us? If so, understand there were none of those areas or places in Jesus's life, and there are supposed to be none in our lives. So I say, get around to it now or get around to it later. And as badly as I may feel for a listener today who really is suffering in any area, I feel good in telling you that, you know, go darken the doors of a church today. Go surround yourself with Christians who can identify with what you're going through, for the scripture is pretty clear that nobody's being faced with something that's not pretty common to all men, but God will give us what we need to persevere and endure. So there were times in prison, especially, when survival was our single word focus, and yet there was still active perseverance and motion forward in our faith as we were surviving. So all that goes hand in glove, like you're saying, to make it all what it's supposed to be.
And not to mention the fact that I know from having spoken with friends of yours who went through that experience with you, that there are people today whose lives were affected in favor of Christ because of your influence on them while you were in prison. And that's a tough ministry, but one I hope I don't get called to.
Yeah, I don't want to go back other than as a guest speaker, but I am glad I went once. That's an interesting thing, too. The scripture talks about Christ. I think it's Luke 22, 31, talking to his disciples. And the guys are all kind of stand there listening, and somehow then there's a conversation where it's said that Satan has requested of me that you be sifted as wheat. So I guess it's Christ talking to Peter, and that whole sifting idea, tough stuff. It's not, again, God's creation, but he's allowing it, not causing it. But it teaches that he controls the method, the duration, and the intensity of that sifting that requires perseverance. So if you're feeling that today, you know, picture me sitting in a 6x9 cell with a guy that wouldn't talk to me, thinking, God, are you sure you're in control? And this is the method? I mean, it was very humbling to think that was the handpicked method for me. But comforting, too, is that he controls the duration and the intensity. So I promise you, listeners, it will pass. And the quicker you pay attention and make it a God deal and partner with God and buy into what we're saying here about perseverance, the quicker it will pass. Now, there might be another mud puddle waiting for you just around the corner, because that's what we're saying, the way life works. But the intensity and the method and the duration, some of that, you can get comfort from knowing this isn't the first thing ever to slip through God's fingertips. He's a part of it.
Yeah, and that whole idea of perseverance being a time for growth, it's a tough thing to understand when you're going through it. But when you look back, you say, wow, that was a period when God really grew me to the next stage where I could make a difference.
Amen.
That happened to you, I know for sure.
Yeah, I mean, look at the incredible person I've become today.
Well, there's still some work to be done.
Look at the humility I've achieved, Chuck. Oh, well, listen, you're a great partner, Chuck. We miss Bob Belts, but you're a great co-host. And listeners, we just encourage you that, you know, we're all in this together. And God is in control, and he does want to be in relationship with you. And he does want to help you feel that bad hop that may be coming your way today. So whether it's church or just opening the scripture and reading the book of John, where you learn about the life of Christ, we encourage you to do it. So blessings to everyone.
And if you're out there today and you're going through one of those trials right now, we will pray for you, number one. Bo, we're going to have you pray for those people before we go off the air.
All right, Lord God, we do thank you for the good days and the bad days, the sunshine and the rain. But we would ask you to give us the mental composure to persevere through those tough times. So anybody that's listening today, going through a tough time, that's who we're praying for right now. And that mental composure in part would include, like I've said earlier, a trip to church, Lord, impress on their minds and hearts to go to church, darken the doors of a church, listen to the words of a pastor, and open the scripture and gain the life-changing truth that can come from what you've written to us personally in that scripture. We pray this in your great name, and we pray it expecting miracles in the lives of the people who are listening. Amen.
Amen.
Chuck, see you next week on You Get the Blessing.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long.